that we really ought to contemplate and really think about what is serving God. We all are servants of God, aren't we? Those who are Christians here this morning are servants of God. Some years ago, I remember, well, and I probably heard this more than once, a few times, individuals who will say, it's time for the younger ones to take over and to do things. Our children are grown, and we've done this for a long time, and so it's really the younger people's turn now. I think about that passage in Ephesians that was read in chapter 4. In fact, maybe we should just flip there and take a look at that, because although as I planned this, I only made a note of a couple of passages or verses there, but I really think we ought to note some of the things that are said in this context. Notice there, beginning in verse 11, that God prepared the church. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for a purpose, for equipping the saints, for the work of preparing them for service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we come to a unity of the faith and a full knowledge of the Son, to a mature man, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is, being Christ-like in every aspect. As the result, we're not to be children tossed here and there by every little thing that comes along or down the pike, but to speak the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And then I think of Romans 12 and verse 1, where Paul says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I remember someone saying, and I don't know who it was now, it's been way too long ago, but it's been said there is no retirement for a Christian in this life. And that's absolutely true. Serving God is really part of loving Him. You love God, then you will serve Him, and in turn, you will love and serve those who are His. Look at John 4 with me, if you will. Look at John 4. We're going to begin at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God is manifest in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Then drop down to verse 21. And this is the commandment that we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Back in chapter 3 and in verse 17, you'll note it says, but whoever has this world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? The question is rhetorical, isn't it? The answer is, it doesn't. in Galatians 5 and in verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not yearn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. How is it that older Christians can serve God? Well, as I said and I thought about this, the truth of the matter is they can serve God in exactly the same ways that everybody else can. Well, most of the time, there may be some things that older Christians cannot do that others can because we are older, our bodies a little more decrepit. It doesn't function as well as it used to. It gets tired faster and those kind of things. We may have some ailments that we didn't have in our youth that we now have to deal with and we have to live around and work around. But there is a lot that we as older Christians can do. So what is it that we can do? Well, as I was thinking about this, older Christians that I remember when I was younger were the ones that I saw setting an example that I needed to follow or that I wanted to follow. And so, as an older Christian, I can continue to set an example. Now, the fact is, everybody's setting an example, aren't they? But what kind of example are you setting? Are you setting a good one or a bad one? As a Christian, I want to set a good example, don't I? An example of one who uses words properly and in a good way. In Proverbs 29 and verse 20, the proverb writer says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." In fact, Paul encouraged the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 to retain a standard of sound words, which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. In Acts 26 and verse 25, when Paul is standing before Festus, and Festus thinks that he's lost his mind, Paul says, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth." Older individuals ought to be the kind of Christians who utter words of sober truth, who are not hasty in their words, but by reason of time have learned to be careful with the words that they use and how they use them to encourage and to strengthen, to build up others. How we treat others. We need to be an example of how to treat others. Luke 6 and verse 31 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Just as you want people to treat you, treat them in the same way." What we would refer to as the golden rule. Well, that ought to be something that is seen in older Christians, because we've learned that the best way of dealing with any situation is to treat someone else the way you want to be treated. In Titus, the second chapter, and in verse 7, Paul says to Titus, "In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds or good works, with purity in doctrine, dignified." The thought is of being said here as a young man that applies to a young man, but it applies to every one of us, and especially as we age in Christ, we ought to be that kind of an individual. In 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, Paul writes, "Not that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for your joy. For in your faith, you are standing firm." Now, Paul is writing them. He has been talking to them. He'd written the first letter And he had said some pretty tough things to these Corinthians. They had some real severe problems. And he had been dealing with them in the first letter, and he says, he had planned to come and be with them, but he's delayed his coming. And he says, I did that because I didn't want to come to you and then have to get on you and say, okay, you've got to do this because I said to. He said, I don't want to lord it over you, but I want to help you. I want to help you by teaching you those things that you need to understand, that you need to do, so that your faith, excuse me, can become what it needs to be, and not my faith. I said, you're not doing it because of Paul's faith, but you're doing it because it's your faith. The very thing that we as parents want to instill in our children. We don't want them to have our faith. We want them to have their own faith in Jesus Christ. We ought to be examples in attitude. In John 13, beginning in verse 12, Jesus has just washed the apostles' feet. It says, and so when he had washed their feet and he'd taken his garments and reclined at table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, you are right, for I am. If then I, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly I say to you, a slave is no greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now, he's not just talking about the idea of washing feet, is he? He's talking about setting an example of serving. In their mind, they would have been lower than he was. And well, we would have to agree with that, right? We are all lower than Jesus. He's setting an example that if the master washes the servant's feet, then the servants ought to wash each other's feet. We ought to do things for one another, having the right attitude. There are a lot of bad attitudes in congregations that need to be gotten rid of. There isn't one of us that's better than any other, is there? That's something that we really need to remember. Philippians 2 and verses 3 through 5, Paul says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another, please note this, as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. He doesn't say don't look out for yourself, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he then goes on to tell us about the attitude of Jesus Christ, who did not think that the equality with God was a thing to be held on to. But he emptied himself. He left heaven. He came here. He became a human being so that he could die on a cross. Totally unselfish. That's the kind of people older Christians ought to set an example of. In Colossians 4 and verse 2, devoting yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it that with an attitude of thanksgiving. Older Christians should be an example of prayer. One of the things I remember about my grandmother was going down to her house, just dropping in on her occasionally. And the number of times that we would drop in and visit with her, and she would be sitting on the couch reading her Bible. Well, that was so encouraging. That focuses things in your mind, doesn't it? About what's really important. In James 2 and in verse 1, my brethren, do not hold hold your faith. I'm sorry, let me try that again. James 2 and verse 1. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. If there's anything that older Christians ought not to do, is to pick favorites among the brethren. We are all important. All of us should be showing these things, because these things show the world who and what we are. It's imperative that we understand that people are watching us. And so our example is vital to the world seeing that Christ is living in us. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Children and young people are watching us. They see us as an example. They want to follow us. They want to be like us. Just as the song that Gary led before I got up here. Oh, to be like that. That's my favorite song. In fact, I've got a sermon entitled that same thing. Being like Jesus is all that I really want to be. There's nothing more important in life than that one thing, being like Jesus. And children and young people should see those things in us. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, Paul says that bodily discipline is of little value, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds a promise of the present life and also for the life to come. We can set an example of godliness before the world and all of those young people that we have contact with. We're to be an example to the middle-aged. In Titus 3 and verse 8, Paul says, this is a trustworthy statement concerning these things. I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Everyone can do this. All kinds of people. And generally when we least expect it, they're watching us. I remember a time when I was doing telephone work. I was working out of Terre Haute, Indiana, working in southern Illinois at the time. I think it was in Oblong. I was working in the dentist office there, putting in some telephones. And I went out to the van to get something out of it, and I don't know what I did, but I must have stepped just wrong, and I twisted my ankle, and you know, if you step really hard and you twist the ankle, it is quite excruciatingly painful. And I'm hopping around there trying to endure that pain. And there's a lady gone by and she says, I really appreciate the fact that you didn't use any foul language. Now I tell you that not because of something great that I did, but the thing that I learned from that. The thing that I learned from that was that people are watching. They're listening. And they're paying attention to the kind of individuals we are. And I'll tell you what, that impressed me. And I have never forgotten it. You've got to be careful. Somebody is always watching. The all-seeing eye never misses a thing. It's important the kind of example that we're setting. You know, some of the people that stand out in my mind are older individuals. I remember a couple who came to a gospel meeting when I was living in Plainfield, Indiana. Here's this, he can barely walk, he's got his cane, and she's come along, and they go all the way up to the front seat. Because he's got his hearing aid, but he still can't hear very well. All the way to the front seat. Now, you know, a lot of older folks would say it's 7 o'clock at night. It's in the fall, and so the sun's going down sooner than it used to in the summer. And we'll have to drive home after dark. Oh, I think we'll just stay. thing that impressed me about these individuals, this wasn't the first time I saw them. I saw them often. In fact, I even remember my grandmother and my great-grandmother. My grandmother was staying with my great-grandmother because of her age. And they were constantly going to gospel meetings. They went to gospel meetings. If somebody else was having a gospel meeting, they'd go there. They were there almost every day of the week. Those kind of things impress you about what's important to this older Christian, don't they? I certainly did me. Their efforts to make it to services. And I guarantee you that sometimes when you're older, it is an effort to be here, isn't it? Isn't it, Donna? Isn't it, Ginger? Isn't it, Marilyn? It's tough. Yeah, it is tough, isn't it? Sometimes you don't feel like it. You just don't feel like it, but you know it's the thing you need to do. You'll be encouraged. You'll be built up. And you will encourage and build up others. That's what's so fantastic about this. Setting these kind of examples. Their knowledge and understanding of the Bible. Those individuals who will say, it's the young people's time to start teaching the classes. We've been doing it for all these years. You've spent all of your life gaining this knowledge, this understanding. Why not share it? Now I really understand. You don't have the energy to deal with little children, and so that you might not want to do that. But there are young people that need to know the things you have learned from experience and study of God's Word. It's invaluable. Things that you have learned over the years in studying and reading God's Word. In 1 Peter 2, in verse 21, Peter says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in His steps." And as I think about following in His steps, I think about those times when He spent all night in prayer and then went out and teaching the people. I think about those times when He spent all day teaching the people and then He went up to the mountain to pray. And that makes me think of that idea. There is no retirement for Christians in this world. We can retire in heaven. Right? Yeah. You know, some people just think that it's easier not to do. Jesus suffered without complaint. And as an older individual, sometimes we just simply need to do things without complaining, because it's the right thing to do. And that brings me to this idea of continuing to teach. Being older is no reason to quit teaching, but rather a reason to teach. Someone said, teach always, and when necessary, use words. I think that's a really great idea. Teaching with my example, but teaching with the Word, the things that I've learned. Hebrews 5 and verse 12, Paul, or the Hebrew writer here, is chastising some individuals who, by reason of time, they've been Christians a long time, but rather than being teachers, they need to go back and be taught the elementary principles of the oracles of Christ, or of God. They need milk and not solid food. That's not the kind of older Christian I want to be, and that's not the kind of older Christian you will want to be. You may not have the energy, like I said, to teach the younger children, but you can teach older children. You have a lifetime of learning and knowledge that you should be willing to share with young people and middle-aged people. In Acts 20 and verse 20, Paul says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you public and from house to house. You can teach. Think of all the things that you have studied and learned, all of the classes. I can't even begin to think about all of the classes that I have set in on or that I have taught in my lifetime. Or the sermons that have been preached, or the sermons that I've heard. There's a wealth of God's Word here, and practical learning and living experience. It should be shared, and that should be relished by younger people, and desired by younger people. In fact, in Titus 2 and verses 3 through 5, Paul says that older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, but nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Older women are to teach younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Do you suppose, think about it, do you suppose there's a time when you don't love your children? I thought that was supposed to be natural. There might be a time when mom is just fed up with the children. And so she needs some advice from an older woman to help her to love those children in spite of being up to here with their craziness. I understand that women need to use about 20,000 words a day to feel some kind of fulfillment. Men, not so much. If you spend all day talking with little children, 2 and 3, 4, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. Your conversation is not on an adult level much, is it? It's kind of hard to really feel fulfillment there. That's why it's important for husbands to talk with their wives. Yes, I know, I need to do better at that. It's important. It's important. We as older individuals need to be an example of that. You know, I think you'd be really surprised how much you can teach by just spending time with young people. You may be able to do things faster by doing it yourself, but letting a child help you do those things teaches them to be helpful and to serve others. In fact, I remember one of the things that we used to do with our kids was when it snowed, we would send them to the neighbors to shovel the drive and the sidewalks for no pay. Now, that was just so that they learned to serve. Later on, we allowed them to receive some pay once in a while. But if it was a neighbor lady who was a widow or something like that, you go down there, you shovel her drive, you shovel her sidewalks, you do all you can for her, and do not take anything. Even though she offers, don't take it. You're helping her out. And so teach those kind of things. In fact, with this recent storm, we had 2 huge limbs come down, and we got the street is blocked by the trees, and so we were there out there at 1 o'clock in the morning cutting up trees and throwing them back out of the street, and we had a couple or 3 neighbors stop by and help with us do that. And then on Sunday afternoon, we still had a bunch of stuff that needed to be gotten rid of, and so we got some neighbors that came in and were helping with that, and one of them brought 2 of his children to help do those things. You see, helping them serve, helping them learn to serve. In fact, in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, Paul speaks of the Lord putting him into service. We have been put into service to help. There are many things that we can do. There are a lot that we can find to do if we are willing. Again, Galatians 5 and verse 13, through love serve one another. Continue to support the work of the Lord. In 3 John in verse 8, or I'm sorry, let's back up to verse 5. 3 John verse 5. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers and they bear witness of your love before the church, and you will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men that we may be fellow workers with the truth. Supporting the work. You may be like the widow with two mites. And remember that Jesus said she had given more than all of those who had preceded her. It's not about the amount. It's about the heart, the desire to share those things. In fact, there's another thing that I notice in this passage, and that is opening up your life to receive people into it. Allowing people to come to your home and to stay with you and providing for them while they're there. That's the idea of some of the things that John is talking about here in this. We, as older individuals, can do that. Now, I understand that if you're a widow, you may not want to do that. But older couples, why not? Have the preacher that's holding the gospel meeting into your home and to provide the things that are necessary for him while he's there. That's the kind of thing that John's talking about. Our giving on the first day of the week, as we have done already today, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, it helps support the work of the Lord. By opening our homes, we can help support the Lord's work. Think about the churches of Macedonia that Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians 8. Beginning in verse 2, he says that in a great deal ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participating in the support of the saints. Now, I understand this is financially, but think about all of the other things that we could possibly do. And we could just go on and on. And As I finished up on this at the conclusion, I realized that there are probably 100 other things that we could actually touch upon that we can do. But the idea of being willing to do is what's really important. We need to have a willingness to serve others. In Matthew 6 and in verse 20 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that by so doing, we are laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven. That's what we need to be doing. If we want to be involved in the Lord's work, there is always something that we can do. We can send cards. We can send letters. We can call the sick. We can visit the sick and shut in. We can contact those who miss services. We can invite individuals to services. We can, in fact, one of the things I remember as a preacher in particular was, this didn't happen very often, but it was one of the things that just really made my day, is when I would get a card from some anonymous person out there that might be a part of a congregation that was supporting me in my work, and the card just simply said, "We're praying for you and we appreciate the work you're doing for the Lord." Man, there's nothing more exhilarating to realize that somebody else out there is thinking about you. We all. Unless something has happened and an arthritis has taken over and my hands are so decrepit that I can't write. We can do little things. That in my mind, that seems to be such a little thing, but also in my mind, that was, for me, that was a big thing. It really made my day. I remember being told about a gentleman in Southern Illinois who was confined to the nursing home. But he set up more Bible studies for the preacher in that congregation than anybody else in the congregation together. There wasn't anybody that came into the nursing home that he didn't talk to. That he didn't try to set up a Bible study for the preacher, the local preacher. He was always working for those kind of things. You see, if we want to do something, we can find something to do. We should be inviting people to worship with us. We should be encouraging them, making contacts with our neighbors, getting to know them. Well, we got the neighbor on the west side of us there, and the little boy, the little girl doesn't want anything to do with us, but the little boy, he just can't wait to see us, and the minute that I'm outside doing something with the garden or whatever it might be, he's got to come out and he's got to say hi and he's got to tell me about something. And his mom is always, she's always saying to me, "I sure hope he's not bothering you." And I remember one day he was out there and I had been doing something. I was kind of sweaty and needed a drink. So we went around the corner of the house and we sat on the steps going up to the deck. We just sat down on the steps there and I was drinking a little water and he was just telling me about his day and all the things he was doing. Now that may seem like something that's insignificant, but it is really, really important to listen to young people and for them to know that what they have to say is important. And older people should understand that as well as anybody understands. Because it's easy to know that people don't really care what you have to say. But you can make a difference. And you never know. You never know in those little conversations with children what you might be able to implant in their minds that will lead them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is always something we can do if we really want to help. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, verily do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you're going. It is appointed unto man once to die. Death looms in the future for all of us. When that happens, there will be no doing here. We need to do it now. Is your life what it needs to be? If it's not, we would encourage you to change it this very day. Our life is like a vapor, James says, that appears for a little while and then, poof, it's gone. You do not know whether you will be back this evening or you will be meeting the Lord in eternity. If your life's not right, the opportunity to change that and to look forward to meeting the Lord is right now. And if you've already made your life right with Him, but you've departed in some way and you need to correct that, or you need some encouragement, or you need some help in some way, come forward as we stand and sing. All the bitterness and sorrow.